All right. How about we just turn this into pet chat? Let's scrap the whole football thing.
Sounds good.
I'll let Walker know when we just talk about our pets.
We just talked about our pets. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about football instead, shall we?
All right, if we have to.
There's the intro. Everybody, and welcome back to the Football Obscurity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with just Mike Valverde again. Real tragedy. We need to talk about Walker. Walker got a Brazilian butt lift, but went to that doctor that was putting concrete in. The concrete hardened. Walker went for a swim and is currently still at the bottom of a pool. So best of luck to Walker. Hope they get back next week. No, Walker. Yeah, go ahead.
Now Mike. Sleeps with the fishes.
That's right. Walker forgot podcasting equipment going to their girlfriend's house. So good job, Walker. So it's just me and Mike again. Walker is slow quitting the pod, I think. So let's get this party started. Mike, let's talk about Broncos. Saints. Broncos are 4-3. They win 33-10. Saints are 2-5. Only notable injury in this one is Paulson Adebo, who is having a pretty good season, out for the year with a broken leg. I didn't realize he led the league in passes deflected. They put that stat up when they were putting him on the cart. So that's going to be a big loss for the Saints defense. But speaking of a big loss, how about them Saints, Mike?
Yeah. Wow. What a game. I didn't think they actually had it in them to score 10 points.
and it was 7 points were scored by Jake Haener in garbage time. So let's go Jake Haener. So Spencer Rattler is really bad, but he also had no Rashid Shaheed, no Chris Olave, no Taysom Hill. They were pretty much set up to lose this game, and there were people who 69% of people had the Saints winning this one on Yahoo.
Wow, really?
Yeah, if you want to know how sports books stay in business, that's how. That's money, because all three of us picked Denver, and it wasn't even particularly close when we picked Denver. So let's talk about the fantasy options in this one. Mike, you want to know about on the Broncos, and we kind of went back and forth on this, and you talked me into Courtland Sutton a little bit, who had zero targets. But the big one, the big winner, Javonte.
Yeah, Javonte was definitely the big winner here. On the ground, he had 14 carries for 88 yards. And 2 touchdowns. And then in the air, he was successful there as well for 3 receptions for 23 yards on 3 targets. So all around, both in the air and on the ground, he was doing it.
Yeah, he was the man. And it was sort of the thing where they, like, our biggest problem was that he had been splitting touches. And in this one, he had 14 carries, 3 receptions, like you mentioned. So he had 17 touches to 5 carries for Audric Estime and 4 carries for Jaleel McLaughlin. Neither one of those guys had a catch. So he kind of took over as the RB1 there. It's looking like it's going to be sort of a rotational committee with him at the head of it. So next week he's got the Panthers. I think that's another game where you fire him up no matter what god awfulness has happened recently, because you can see that he's still good enough and gets enough touches to take over good matchups. And that's what he'll have next week against the Panthers.
Right, exactly. It's pretty much just like the Saints he'll have against the Panthers. So, you know, he should be successful again, but you never know with Javonte Williams and the Broncos. But I feel confident putting him in at least a flex spot.
Yeah. And then we got Bo Nix, rushed for 75 yards, still only managed to finish with 14 fantasy points. So good job, Bo Nix. But if he had scored some dang touchdowns, he probably would have had a pretty good fantasy week. But as it is, we kind of saw the theory of why you could play Bo Nix, which was his rushing. Like I said, yep. 10 for 75, but 32-yard run in there, which is nice. I mean, how many quarterbacks in the NFL don't have a 32-yard run in them? You know? I'd like to see Kirk Cousins pull that off. So, Bo Nix, I think, remains in the streaming conversation, but I don't think he's a solidified starter. What are we doing with this passing game, huh? Troy Franklin, 5 for 50, 6 targets. Courtland Sutton, like I said, no targets.
And then it was just kind of a flat distribution other than that. Lucas Grohl, Javonte Williams, Devon Valey, Marvin Mims, Lil Jordan Humphrey, and Adam Trautman had four or three passes, targets. So what are we doing with this passing game?
Yeah, I think that you can't really trust it outside of Courtland Sutton. But as we saw last night, Courtland Sutton didn't even get a target. So that just tells me that altogether, this is just too much of an enigma to have any faith in.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of something that's too enigmatic to have any faith in, Saints passing game, Saints running game, nothing worked for them. Like we said, finished with 10 points. Jake Haener got 7 of them in garbage time. We're sitting there with Alvin Kamara getting 6 catches for 14 yards, just kind of doing exactly what I thought was going to happen, but with Derek Carr, but with Spencer Rattler, just getting a ton of targets. But I don't know if you can take anything from this game for the Saints, if I'm being honest.
No, I mean, exactly. I mean, Kendre Miller led the rushing. I mean, they weren't going to be able to rush much anyways, but being down 33, you know, to 10 or whatever they were down throughout the game. There's nothing there in the rushing game. And then without Olave, there's really not much in the passing department as well, as you mentioned, mainly because of Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. So I think it's a burn the tape game for the Saints. We can ignore it and move on.
Yeah. In fact, you probably can ignore most of the Saints games from here on out until Derek Carr comes back.
Yeah, probably. All right. So going from the Big Easy to Big Ben, we did it. That's a transition, baby. Jags and Patriots playing in London this week. Both teams are 1-5. Jags 5.5-point favorites in this one. 42.5-point over-under. Injuries in this one. Travis Etienne is questionable for the Jaguars, as is Tyson Campbell. For the Patriots, Vidarian Lowe is out. Ramondre Stevenson, Jonathan Jones, Michael Jordan, Sione Takitaki, Marco Wilson, and Curtis Jacobs are also questionable. And so in this one, Mike, you wanted to know, you had no questions in this one. It's Walker wanted to know. We're going to start with Walker. BTJ Killer, a must start against this Patriots defense.
That's a good one. The Patriots are right now middle of the league when it comes to points allowed against wide receivers. And BTJ Killer is mostly used. Deep threat, but really, who else are they really throwing the ball to? Kirk, you know, outside of Kirk too. But yeah, I'm gonna say not a must start.
Not a must start. Okay, I think that he's not a must start, but I definitely think that you can go back to him this week. Nerds. I just realized I forgot to set my lineup in the Expendables, and I had Taysom Hill playing. Oh boy. Okay. Anyways.
Oh, no.
I think we can go back to BTJ. Patriots are, like you said, middle of the pack in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. In full PPR last week, they allowed big games to both Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, who had 19.7 and 18.7 fantasy points respectively. Both scored a touchdown. I think that, this is a game where you can go back to Brian Thomas Jr. Our big trepidation with him last week was the Bears defense. It didn't have much to do with the Jags offense. We've seen that he can take advantage of good matchups. So that's what I think this one is. Elsewhere on the Jags, I think that you mentioned Christian Kirk. I think he's just like a low end wide receiver 3. Nothing too special, nothing too fancy.
Right.
Yeah, and then Evan Ingram must start. So let me ask, if Travis Etienne plays, do you want to play him? He's struggled mightily lately. He left the game with an injury last week. Tank Bigsby and Dearness Johnson split the touches. But if Travis Etienne plays, do you want to play him?
I do and I don't. I do because it's the name on basis alone. But as you mentioned, he hasn't been good at this year. It's one of those things where you're slowly moving away from if you haven't moved away from completely. So I'm stuck with with what is the Patriots against the run? Are they pretty good? Yeah, they're fifth best against the run. I'm going to stay away from him this week.
Stay away from Travis Etienne. Okay. If Travis Etienne doesn't play, I think that D'Ernest Johnson makes for an interesting like long shot PPR play. That's one place where the Jags do get kind of beaten up. I'm sorry, the Patriots do get beaten up is through running back receptions. So that's something that you can take advantage of with D'Ernest Johnson. D'Ernest Johnson ran more routes last week than granted they were, you know, chasing points, but he ran more routes last week than Travis Etienne ran in any game except for one. He ran 21 routes last week. Travis Etienne's season high is 22, and most of the time he's around 15. So he was very, very, very involved. Patriots allowing 4.3 catches and 33.2 receiving yards to opposing running backs without playing a premier pass catcher at all. So, like, they're allowing those stats, and the most that most targets that a running back's gotten against them is 5. So it's like teams aren't throwing, but when they throw, they give up production. So I think that D'Ernest Johnson's, if Travis Etienne doesn't play, an interesting flex play in terms of, like, if you need somebody that might get you 0 points or might get you 15 or 16 because you're desperate.
And I also should change that around. I read it wrong in reverse. Actually, they're the fifth worst against the run.
Oh.
So Etienne might be a solid play.
Might be in play? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if no Etienne, then we'll say both Tank Bigsby and D'Ernest Johnson have reasons to be played. Yeah, so
for sure. For sure.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If no Travis Etienne and no Ramondre Stevenson, are we playing Tank Bigsby or Antonio Gibson?
Oh, I can't play Antonio Gibson.
What?
I can't.
No. Come on, Mike.
No.
All right, fine.
He had his chance last week to prove himself and came up flat, so I can't do that.
Would you be curious if I bullied you into him? Would that interest you? No?
Well, I am conflict avoidant, so yeah.
All right, I can't bully you into him. All right, let's talk about my question for the Patriots, which is really a question for both of these teams, which does this game have a chance to be a low key banger? I'm talking like 35-27 high scoring game. Neither one of these teams really play a lick of defense, if we're being honest here.
Right.
Both teams have question marks on offense, but I really want to see Drake May. I really want to see Drake May again. The little bit that I saw of him last week, I was impressed in his first game. He had his warts. You know, I've said this already. But, you know, I kind of feel like if Drake May is who we think he will be, this game is like a low-key banger. And I think you can stream Drake May. He was QB12 last week. I think that if you're desperate, Pop Douglas makes for a good play this week. Led the team in targets by 4. I have faith in Antonio Gibson if Ramondre doesn't play. So I think this game's a low-key banger.
It very well could be. I mean, just maybe based on Drake May alone, as far as, you know, as you mentioned, the interest in seeing him do what, like, as you mentioned as well, the defense, Jaguars defense is pretty bad. So this could be a very, very fun game, especially if you're looking at rookies to watch and Drake May and see if he can continue to improve and better his performance from last week, which was not too bad as far as rookie goes.
Yeah. 3 scores, like, granted, there was a lot of garbage time there, but still 3 scores, your rookie, your first game. I mean, there was a lot of garbage time last night. We saw how Spencer Rattler performed under those conditions. So that having been said, I also think that Sean Payton had this game scheduled on his, or circled on his schedule for a very, very long time. And wanted to blow the doors off the Saints. So there is that to be said. But I think Drake May, I think Pop Douglas, I think Ramondre, obviously, if he starts. I think if he doesn't, Antonio Gibson's an interesting flex. So I think that's it for the Patriots-Jags.
Yeah, pretty much.
we don't need to spend that much time on 2-1-5 teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, we all have the Jags winning. All right, let's talk Seahawks, Falcons. Atlanta 3-point favorites, 51.5-point over/under. Seahawks are 3-3. Falcons are 4-2. Injuries in this one for the Seahawks. The following players are all out, and they're the only ones listed on the injury report: Stone Forsythe, Trey Brown, Tariq Woolen again, and Jarek Reed. For the Falcons, Troy Anderson and Lorenzo Carter are both out. Justin Simmons and Antonio Hamilton are both questionable. So Walker wanted to know, will JSN finish in the top 24 this week, with the which the Falcons rank 10th in the league in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers?
This sounds like a trick question. I don't know if JSN has this season entered the top 24.
Mike, I don't know if he's finishing in the top 36 this week.
I have
some leagues where I'm trotting JSN out there, and I'm like, all right, man, that's 9 PPR points that I'm just going to pencil in right there. And I don't know if I can trust it for anything more than that.
Yeah, exactly. I would say the answer to that is an absolute no.
Okay, I think I can tell here. Let me step into the mind of a Walker. So the Falcons are allowing the 10th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, and JSN has finished between 30 and 36 in each of the last 3 weeks. So he has been producing. Like I said, I'm putting him in my lineup. I'm like, all right, that's 9 points. Like, I'm not expecting more. I'm certainly perturbed if I get less. But with the bad Falcons team on defense, with the targets that he's getting, I can see where Walker's coming from, but I don't – if that's what he believes, but I'm going to go no.
Yeah. I just don't see it. And I guess Walker, I'm looking at Walker's ranks and he doesn't see it either. He has JSN at 37.
Okay. So, I don't know if Walker updated the ranks this week, cause they've been under the weather and I'm not sure. I will send a message to Walker to ask and we'll find that out. But anyways, elsewhere on the Seahawks, Ken Walker must start. DK Metcalf, I think, must start. What about Geno Smith?
Yeah, I think, especially against this defense, I think you can. I think top 12 is reasonable.
Okay, yeah, for Geno, I think, this is a game that actually kind of am intrigued by this. If I wasn't going to the Niners game this week, this would probably be the game I would be most interested watching. Second most interested watching in the 10 a.m. window. I forgot about Lions Vikings. That's the most interesting one. But this one, it's kind of like a lower tier Lions Vikings. Like I was saying, Lions Vikings feels like NFC Championship preview. Seahawks Falcons feels like a 10 o'clock on Saturday wild card weekend preview.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be great, but I think that both these teams are quality. They have some things that they like. I think that Ryan Grubb needs to get out of his own way. Offense has not been what we thought it would be. You know, everybody's going to come to the table and everybody's going to eat. So I think Ryan Grubb needs to get out of his own way, but I do think that Geno Smith does have top 12 potential, though I don't know if I would rank him that way. Like, we only have two teams on bye this week. We only have the Bears and the Cowboys, and I would put both those quarterbacks above him at this point, though Caleb Williams probably varies from week to week, and same with Dak Prescott, if I'm being honest. But I don't know. Feels top 12 feels like, I wouldn't be surprised if he was 9. I wouldn't be surprised if he was 15. So I guess that works as a middle point.
Yeah.
So
actually, that would put him at 12. If you 9, yeah, 15, 24, yeah, divide that middle by point. 2 is 12.
Yeah. So why not? Sure. We'll go there. This is not a week to stream Noah Fant. I know he produced well last time against the Niners. The Falcons are middle of the pack against tight ends, and I don't think he's going to be all that involved. So, let's talk Falcons, Mike. You wanted to talk about Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I was curious on if he was going to go over or under 90 total yards.
I'm going easy over on this one. Seahawks allowing the 11th most fantasy points on the season to running backs, allowing the fourth most rushing yards, and the 18th most. I lost where I had the note for their receiving. So fourth and 18th. I think he's going to rush for like maybe 90, somewhere between 97 and 105 yards. That's where I would put him.
Oh, wow. So you just on the ground, you're going over.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Total yards. Sorry. No, I meant to say total yards. I did. Say oh, rushing. Okay. I meant total. Yeah. So, yes, I would do it. Okay. And Walker responded. They did update the ranks this week, so we can talk. We can speak to them. Okay. Perfect. All right. What about Drake London? Must start, you think?
Yeah, I think he's a weekly start every week. It seems like Cousins and London really have a connection going, and he's easily the top receiver in the room. So I'd roll with him.
Yeah, so Drake London recently in PPR has been, it feels like he hasn't played in forever. Because he had the Thursday night game last week, and then I didn't see him play last week. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, and then I didn't see him play last week. But two straight games inside the top 15 for Drake London. Sorry for rambling there. Two straight games inside the top 15 for Drake London. I think the Seahawks defense isn't one you worry about, especially without Tariq Woolen. So, yeah, I agree. I think Drake London's must start. What about Kirk Cousins? What are we doing with Kirk Cousins? Kirk or Geno, Mike?
Oh, that's a tough question. Seahawks are pretty tough against the air. They're the ninth best. I think I'm gonna go Geno.
Geno?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I asked my question and then I wasn't ready to answer my own question. Good job, Jeff. I would say probably I kind of like how Kirk Cousins has been playing lately, but I do think that Geno Smith is due for a bounce back after the Niners game last week, because that poor guy, it was his birthday, and the Niners did that to him. I'm going to go Geno in this one. Geno is also a higher-ranked quarterback on the season, so Geno Smith over Kirk Cousins. Geno, let's do this. I'm going to give you another quarterback. You rank if you would rather start them or Kirk Cousins. CJ, oh no, that's an easy one. Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence or Geno Smith.
Cousins.
Or Kirk Cousins. Cousins. Yeah, I think I have to go Kirk Cousins here.
Okay. So right off the bat. So Trevor Lawrence, I'm sorry, Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold. Going up against the Lions.
Oh, against the Lions? Yeah, again, yeah. I gotta go Kirk Cousins.
What about Jared Goff going up against the Vikings? Because that's how teams playing each other works.
Is that how it works? Yeah, Kirk Cousins again.
Okay. And then what about Kirk Cousins or Patrick Mahomes going up against the Niners?
I, as much as I would say easily Patrick Mahomes, it's not that case anymore. So I'm going to go Cousins again.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, QB 22 in fantasy points per game this season.
Jeez.
Oh, look at this. I did a real monkey's paw situation. Remember when I was, well, we both did. Remember when we were hyping Trevor Lawrence?
Right.
And I was like, oh, he could be as good as Patrick Mahomes. They're both tied with 15.1 fantasy points per game.
How weird is that?
Yeah, tied for QB 22. So you guys went the wrong direction. Falcons. I don't think there's much else. Darnell Mooney, I think he's a less intriguing version of not to keep going back to Vikings, Lions, but less intriguing version of Jordan Addison or Jameson Williams. Like he's that type of boom bust guy, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Kyle Pitts, if you've been playing him, play him. That's kind of where we are with Kyle Pitts. It's a good matchup. We'll see what happens.
I can never get him right. I tell myself I'm going to stick with Kyle Pitts, and I play him for 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm like, I'm done with this dude. I'm done. I'm not playing him anymore. and I take him out of my lineup, and then he goes and has a Kyle Pitts type of gay day where he, you know, catches like six receptions for 67 yards. And then I play him for, well, he's going to be Kyle Pitts, what we all expected. And then of course he doesn't put anything for 3 or 4 weeks. So I get tired of him, take him out, and then he goes off again. I can't get him right. I just can't do it.
No, I know. It's so frustrating. That's why I said, that was my response was, if you have Kyle Pitts, just play Kyle Pitts. Don't yeah. try to guess, you know, be happy you don't have Mark Andrews, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's it for this one. I got the Seahawks winning. Mike and Walker both have the Falcons winning. So let's talk a little Titans, Bills. Bills are 4-2. Titans are 1-4. Buffalo 9-point favorites, 40.5-point over under. Injuries in this one. The following players are out for the Titans: Keandre Coburn, Tyjae Spears, Treylon Burks, Cedric Gray, and Legarius Sneed and Will Levis are both questionable. Darrington Evans is doubtful in the revenge game for the Bills, and Mike Edwards and Ray Davis are questionable. Ray Davis and James Cook flip-flopping. Ray Davis going, you know what? It's my turn to be hurt. Now you get to play. Ray Davis having the big game last week, and now James Cook off the injury report, and Ray Davis looking like he's probably not going to play. My question for this one is real easy for the Titans. Play Tony Pollard and leave everything else behind.
I would say yes, absolutely. The Bills are the fourth worst against the run. So there's only three teams worse than they are. And absolutely, Tony Pollard should torch the Bills.
Yep. Running back 19 in fantasy points per game this season. He's the only guy on this team worth playing. I don't care about anybody else in this team. So let's talk about the Bills. Josh Allen must start. James Cook, if he's healthy, must start. Walker wants to know, are we rolling out Amari Cooper in his first game as a Bill?
I would. I don't see why not. He'll be fine. He's even though it's a new offense, the dynamics and stuff are always the same. So, and they're going to want to use him as much as possible since he's the new toy. So I would absolutely play Amari Cooper.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, he'll come over and, I don't think he's going to have like a huge game, but, do you remember his first game with the Cowboys traded midseason?
No, I don't remember the outcome.
5 for 58 and a touchdown, 8 targets. I take that.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. I take that for Amari. That. Yeah. So I think that you play Amari Cooper. I think that this is a team that's been in need of a go-to weapon for Josh Allen in the passing game. Keon Coleman hasn't come up. Khalil Shakir has been banged up. Dalton Kincaid has been just okay.
Yeah. Dalton Kincaid has not been, well, he's been what we expected, but not what the consensus expected.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. We're like, yeah, he'll be a top 10-ish guy, and that's what he is every week, like a top 10-ish guy. Yep. So not great there, but I think, yeah, they needed a weapon for Josh Allen to throw it to when the chips are down, and I think Amari Cooper is that guy.
I think Walker kind of disagrees with us. He has him at 36.
36. Oh, I know what Walker's doing there. You can start him, but there's probably better options. That's what Walker's doing there.
Yeah.
But we're both all in. We're both in. We both had Amari Cooper, what, top 15 after this trade? So
yeah.
We talked about it on Tuesday. I think he's going to be getting a good number of touchdowns, a lot of targets, a lot of downfield targets. Yeah, he's going to get peppered with targets. So that's it. I mean, that was a pretty straightforward game. You don't want to play any of the receivers. You want to play James Cook, Tony Pollard, Josh Allen, and Amari Cooper, and then Dalton Kincaid if you have him.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Pretty easy game, that one, all things considered. So let's talk Bengals-Browns, Mike. Bengals 2-4, Browns 1-5, Bengals 5.5-point road favorites, 41.5-point over-under. Bengals cornerback DJ Ivy is questionable with a knee injury. For the Browns, Ronnie Hickman and Jerome Ford are both out. Nick Chubb, Jordan Hicks, Nyheim Hines, Ethan Posich, and Juwan Thornhill I got a Niners brain there and wanted to say Juwan Thornhill, but Juwan Thornhill are all questionable. Looking like Nick Chubb is going to make his season debut here. So let's start with the free space team, because I don't want to start anybody on the Browns except David Njoku and maybe Nick Chubb. So would you want to start Nick Chubb in his first game back?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not going to go there. I think he'll probably be very limited in his carries. So I'd stay away from that at this point. Maybe next week, but we'll see about that even. But definitely not this week.
Yeah, I think that preaching caution is smart, considering this guy hasn't played real football in a year and his conditioning needs to get up. Like, granted, I know what I look like without a shirt on, and I know what Nick Chubb looks like without a shirt on. I'm not questioning his health. I'm questioning or how much in shape he is. I'm questioning, he hasn't been hit in a real NFL game in a season, so they're probably going to ease him in slowly if they're smart. So I would not play Nick Chubb this week, just out of an abundance of caution. You know, if you're one of those people that make like 25 daily fantasy football lineups every week, then sure, you should have Nick Chubb in one or two of those just in case. But you know, if you're only playing in like two or three leagues, I would not start Nick Chubb this week. I almost said if you're only playing in five leagues, Mike, and I wonder what percentage of fantasy football players actually play in five leagues.
Not many, I can tell you that.
Not many, yeah. So yeah, it's if you're only playing in two or three. So my sister is in two and she's like, this is so hard. Like you truly don't understand, Maddie. You truly do not understand. All right. So Bengals Browns, that's what we were talking about. The Browns. So you're starting David Njoku and that's it.
Yeah. Njoku and that's it. Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy makes for an intriguing look because of no Amari Cooper in this one. I do think that he's the best receiver on the team by a wide margin. But again, I am preaching caution. I want to see what this looks like first.
Yeah, for sure. The offense has changed quite a bit. So Jerry Jeudy's the number one guy there now, but I'm not. It doesn't mean he'll be someone that is going to lead the team in receptions this week or have a lot of targets. And we're, you know, when you throw in Deshaun Watson in there, it's pretty ugly.
I was going to say he could lead the team in targets with like six. So
six, exactly. Yeah.
So gross team. Let's not talk about it anymore. You want to know about the team on the other side of the field, the Cincinnati Bengals, Mike, who sounds like you have the same little bit of information that I do about Joe Burrow versus the Browns.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, I'm curious on 2+ touchdowns. The Browns are pretty good against the pass. They're the 25th best, meaning only 7 teams are better than they are. Is he going to throw for 2 touchdowns?
I think that he will throw for one. Yeah, I think he'll throw for 2 touchdowns. He's never won in Cleveland, though.
Never won in Cleveland?
No, he's 0-4.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I think he'll throw for 2 touchdowns, but for some reason they have his number, like you put in the show doc. I think we're looking at like 215, 216 passing yards, couple touchdowns, and, you know, an okay, not great fantasy day for him.
That was Walker. I think Walker added all the little.
Oh, Walker put notes in all those notes. Okay, I thought you put that in there. Yeah. So Walker had that bit of that little tidbit that the Browns have Joe Burrow's number. So I think you can still start Joe Burrow, but just like temper expectations. I'm looking more at like 15 fantasy points than 20 from Joe Burrow this week.
15 to four points per touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so like I'd rather start like Baker, even against the Ravens, because Baker's going to bake. I'd rather start Darnold. I would rather start CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, than Joe Burrow, just again out of an abundance of caution, because for some reason the Browns have his number. And I saw what the Giants pass rush did last week, and the Giants pass rush does not have Myles Garrett. They have Brian Burns, but they don't have Myles Garrett. And so I think that that's going to be a big problem for Joe Burrow this week.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, You're starting T. Higgins. You're starting Jamar Chase. What about the running backs, Zach Moss and Chase Brown?
You know, I like Chase Brown. I think that he's slowly taking over that role from Zach Moss. I don't know if you can leave Zach Moss behind, at least the top 30 goes. So you might be able to get away with starting both of them.
Really? Starting both of them? That's very interesting.
Yeah, because if Zach Moss starts in the top 30, you can put him as a flex. And Chase Brown finishes just above that, which also means you could start him somewhere in the flex or you know, RB2. So,
yeah, Walker's right there with you. Chase Brown at 19, Zach Moss at 31. So Walker's of the opinion that these running backs are going to be doing a lot of business this week for the Bengals.
There you go.
Yeah, and then also Walker has Joe Burrow at 8. So, but Walker does have Joe Burrow behind Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, and Jordan Love, and Josh Allen. So, good list of guys there. But Walker has more faith in Joe Burrow than CJ Stroud, like I'd mentioned, or Jared Goff. So, I think that's it. Mike, we're buzzing through this. There's a lot of straightforward games this week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
things are starting to solidify. Things are starting to crystallize. We're starting to see what teams are. So decisions are a lot easier. All right. So we all have the Bengals winning this one. Let's talk Texans Packers. Actually, a lot of good early slate games in this week. Kind of upset that I have to go watch the Niners lose again to the Chiefs for like the 10th time in the last 4 years, it feels like. Texans 5-1. Packers are 4-2. Green Bay 2.5-point home favorites, 47.5-point over-under. Injuries in this one. Azeez Al-Shaair, Kamari Lassiter, Henry To'o, and Jimmy Ward and Robert Woods are all out for the Texans. Steven Sims and Fadukasi are questionable. For the Packers, Dontavian Wicks, Colby Wooden are questionable, and Devontae Wyatt is out with an ankle injury. So, Mike, you wanted to talk about Tank Dell this week.
Yeah, I'm curious if he's going to finish in the top 24. I think he finished last week. I think he finished as the 22nd or 16th. So, wide receiver. So, I'm curious on if he's going to finish at least top 24 against an, you know, easy. I wouldn't say easy. They're 13th ranked, easiest Green Bay Packers defense against the wide receiver.
I think that, yes, I think that he's an easy top 24 guy this week. He had a 29% target share last week, which more than doubled his season average with Nico Collins. Stephon Diggs stayed about the same. He went from 21% target share on the season to 22. So more of the same. So I think that Tank Dell without Nico Collins is a top 24 guy every week, especially this week against, like you mentioned, a good matchup for him to have. And he's going to get tons of targets. He led the Texans in targets last week. So he finished with 7 for 57 and 1 touchdown. Walker agrees. Walker has him 22nd this week.
Yeah. Okay. So inside the top 24, that's good. Yeah. That's kind of where I was thinking, anywhere between 20 and 24.
Yeah. So we're going to play the game really quick. I'm going to go off of Walker's ranks. Also, Walker has Darnell Mooney 24th. So don't listen to us about Darnell Mooney, I guess. Walker has some sort of wild hair about Darnell Mooney. has him above Devontae Adams and Marvin Harrison Jr. So,
wow.
Yeah. So Tank Dell or Tyreek Hill.
I think it depends on who's going to be matching up on Tyreek Hill. I think I might go Tank Dell here.
Okay. I agree. Tyreek Hill, I need to see somebody other than Snoop Huntley under center before I care, if I'm being honest, for the Dolphins. So, I will go, Tank Dell as well. Tank Dell or Jameson Williams going up against the Vikings.
Again, I go Tank Dell.
All right. Tank Dell or Brandon Ayuk against the Chiefs?
Yeah, Tank Dell again.
All right, Tuffy. This one might actually be a real tough one for you, Mike. Tank Dell or Davante Adams making his Jets debut against the Steelers?
I think I'm going to go Davante here.
You think so?
Yeah.
Walker says otherwise. Walker's going Tank Dell there over Davante Adams.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So very interesting. CJ Stroud, top 12 guy. He's a, if you start him, have him sort of guy. Or if you have him, start him sort of guy. Joe Mixon, play him. Dalton Schultz, Mike. Walker has Dalton Schultz ninth this week. Does that feel too high, too low?
Dalton Schultz. I don't know with the way the tight ends are going lately. It's Dalton Schultz. Sure, why not? It sounds fine with me, I guess. It's such a guessing game with tight ends that you can almost put anyone anywhere except for like George Kittle, those kind
Brock
of guys.
Bowers.
Brock Bowers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you right there just exemplified trying to rank tight ends. I don't envy Walker. You're like 10th, you're like 9th. I mean, I could see it. I mean, but he could be bad. And, you know what? Fine. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's tight ends right now. I think if you're in a league where you want to start Tank Dell, I think you're also in a league where you want to start Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
Especially with no Nico Collins this week. And Joe Mixon, like we said, must start. So let's talk about the other side of the ball, the Packers. In this one, Walker wanted to know if we're sticking with Tucker Kraft. Huge game 2 weeks ago, completely disappeared last week. I don't know why we're stuck talking about tight ends again. Are you sticking with Tucker Kraft? Are you sticking with Tucker Kraft this week?
How good are the Texans against the tight end? The Texans are look like they're pretty good against the tight end. They're 27th best, so only five teams better than they are. I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say the Houston stands tough against Tucker Kraft. So you're probably gonna start him because again, why not? But if I was gonna say he was gonna have a good game, then I'm gonna say no. I don't think he will.
I would rather start a few guys. I'd rather start over him. I'd rather start Zach Ertz against Carolina. I would rather start Kate Otten against Baltimore. Kate Otten sneaky great the last few weeks, and the Ravens sneaky bad against tight ends. They're fourth in fantasy points allowed to tight end without giving out a touchdown to tight ends. That's very bizarre. Yeah. I would rather start Hunter Henry. I'd rather start Pat Freiermuth. So that he's kind of in that group. He's a blob. He's a blob tight end. So yeah. I'd rather start him than Isaiah Likely, though. So it's a decision folks might have to make. All right. So elsewhere on the Packers, Josh Jacobs, like, he's fine. He's a top 15 to 20 guy every week. I don't think you have to think about him too much.
No, he's definitely somewhere that's going to finish in the probably top 24, but more than likely 15 to 20. So, you're pretty safe when it comes to him.
Yep. And then Jordan Love, we said to start the wide receivers. I'm starting Jaden Reed, and then the rest is just going to be whoever gets the ball. I don't trust any of them specifically.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
We
just don't know who's going to score a touchdown or who's going to catch six passes for 70-something yards. It could be any of them.
Yeah, I mean, hell, Romeo Doubs went from literally the couch 2 weeks ago because he was suspended for the game to scoring two touchdowns last week. So
Right. That's
kind of how it goes. So I would go Jaden Reed and nobody else. Tucker Kraft is a smoke him if you got him blob guy. Jordan Love must start, everybody else, or Josh Jacobs is a decent start, everybody else good luck
pretty much. Yep.
All right, we have the Texans winning. Walker has the Green Bay Packers winning. Walker Kelly, huge Green Bay Packers fan.
He's a cheesehead.
That's right. Well, if I know one thing about Walker, cheesehead. That's a cheesehead. Always talk about how much they love Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. This is what happens when you forget
your players of all time.
This is what happens when you forget your equipment, Walker. This is punishment. All right. Dolphins and Colts. Dolphins are 2-3. Travel to Indy to play the Colts, who are 3-3. Indy 3-point favorites. 43.5 point over under. Mike, once again, going against his own team against a dog shit quarterback. Mike picking the Dolphins to win this week.
I am. Every time I pick against them, they win. So I'm going to go with.
You're hitting the curse. I get
it.
Okay.
Yes.
I gotcha. I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right. Injuries in this one. Javon Holland is doubtful. He has a broken hand. He might play in a club. Questionable for the Dolphins. Skylar Thompson, Cam Smith, Manny Ogba, David Long, Austin Jackson, Blake Ferguson, and Odell Beckham Jr. For the Colts, Jonathan Taylor once again ruled out. Chris Lammons out as well. Deo Odigbo is questionable, as is Michael Pittman, as is Braden Smith, as is Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, and EJ Speed. That knee injury, he won't have much EJ Speed. Am I right, Mike? All right. I want to know if Snoop Huntley or the Colts pass defense defines the game. One of the two will. Because either Snoop Huntley will be so bad that he can't take advantage of the Colts pass defense, a la Will Levis, or the Colts pass defense will be so bad he'll allow Snoop Huntley to be Pro Bowl quarterback Snoop Huntley for a game. So I want to know, does Snoop or the Colts define the game in Walker's Bozometer game of the week?
That's a good question, because the Colts pass D is not all that good. They don't put pressure on the quarterback. They only have 8 sacks on the year. They haven't had a sack in, I think, 3 games. At least 2, but I think it might be 3 now. The last 3 games that they haven't had a sack at all, which is just mind-numbing to me. I mean, granted, you know, having Defoe out and that kind of stuff is played a part, but not to have a sack in that many games, whatever. But anyways, so I'm gonna say I gotta go homerism and go the Colts pasty here.
That's the opposite of pasty, of going homer, because you're like, they'll define the game because they're gonna be so bad that Snoop Huntley can't overcome them.
Yeah, overcome them.
Oh my god. So Mike's queuing up big games for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Big games.
I don't think you can start either of those. You can start Tyreek Hill in this one, because I have a feeling he'll launch have a big one. I don't know how you can trust Jalen Waddle in this one. Devon Achane, you can run back out there. The reason he's been so bad is because teams have been keying up on the pass, because they know they don't have to trust the pass game in this one. But I don't think the Colts defense really has that luxury, Mike. Sorry. So I think that Devon Achane will have a normal game. What about Raheem Mostert? Do you think you can fire up Raheem Mostert in this one? RB37 in Walker's ranks.
I mean, as much as they've given up quite a big yard, a lot of yards to the second running back as well. They just can't stop the run. So I think you can start Raheem Mostert in this game as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Don't start Snoop Huntley, start Tyreek Hill, don't start Jalen Waddle, and Devon Achane you can go for. So let's talk about the other side of the ball, the Indianapolis Colts, Mike. So it looks like Anthony Richardson will be back.
Yep, he's going to get the start, which might mean bad news for Josh Downs, just because we've talked about that connection between Flacco and Downs has been a very solid one. So Pittman or Josh Downs, I went with Michael Pittman to see if he would be in the top 24.
I think that Michael Pittman will be in the top 24. Walker says Josh Downs greater than signed Pittman. I think that was a Joe Flacco thing. And Michael Pittman has 3 straight games with 100 yards or a touchdown. He was in the mid 30s and scored a touchdown 2 straight weeks at 113 yards 3 weeks ago. So, the trend in terms of like guy who's produced with Anthony Richardson is I would go with Michael Pittman. But we did talk about how Josh Downs doesn't really have a track record with Anthony Richardson just because of how injuries have shaken out. He only played in one game with him this year, which was Josh Downs' first game.
Right. And yeah, exactly.
So if I can get away from Josh Downs, I would, just because, again, out of abundance of caution, but I understand that you might not have that luxury. So I would go Pittman over Downs, but Downs, you know, probably like wide receiver three territory just because he was so good with Joe Flacco that I don't think he can put that genie all the way back in the bottle. But I don't think he'll be, you know, a huge bust out guy like before.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, it's hard to trust either of these receivers with the only one that you might be able to trust, strangely enough, is Alec Pierce.
Oh, my God. He's not playing. He's questionable, Mike. So you know what that means. A.D. Mitchell season, baby. Let's go.
A.D.
Mitchell. No, I think it'll be Pittman, top 24 guy. And I think Downs is more like a top 36 guy. Just, you know, you might get zero from him. You don't know, but you can't leave what he's done on the bench recently. So what about Trey Sermon, Mike? Trey Sermon against the Dolphins defense. How you feeling this week?
I don't have any feelings. The Dolphins, even though they're second worst in football right now, against the run. I don't see Trey Sermon even doing well against the defense. I have more hope for Tyler Goodson than I do Trey Sermon.
Okay. Yeah, the Dolphins are third in fantasy points allowed in PPR to running backs per game. They're the third worst team, like Mike mentioned, but the problem is Trey Sermon is the third worst running back in the league. So there is also
that. Exactly. Yeah. Which one's going to be worse?
Yeah. So, he's just ahead of Rashad White and Zamir White. So, Trey Sermon is, so, all right. Yeah. So Anthony Richardson, what are we doing with him this week?
I don't think you can start him.
I agree.
Yeah. He's just way too unpredictable.
Yeah, he has no self-preservation. He's coming off of an injury. He's, you know, equal odds of getting hurt as throwing two touchdowns in this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, Walker agrees, has Anthony Richardson 18th behind Andy Dalton, Drake May, Jared Goff, and Matthew Stafford.
Ooh, yuck.
Yeah. Also, Walker and I both giving big respect to Matthew Stafford against the Raiders. I have him as a stream this week. Also, my dog, who Mike and I had to stop the podcast recording earlier, wants back in now. She's done barking at the neighbors. So guess what? She's staying outside, though. We're talking football, baby. It's not hell cold. Yeah. It's not cold. It's fine out there. She can stay out there. This is Lila. This is the hell you've made for yourself. All right. That's it for this game, I think. We've gone through it. I have the Colts winning. Mike is once again cursing the Colts, and Walker just has a pain fetish and wants to root for Snoop Huntley.
Snoop. All right.
Snoop, baby. Let's talk Lions, Vikings. Lions 4-1, Vikings 5-0, Minnesota 2-point favorites, 50.5-point over under. Walker put in game of the week. I have to agree, which is crazy considering there's a literal rematch of the last Super Bowl going on to this week, but I think Lions Vikings is the game of the week. Injuries in this one for the Lions: Christian Mahogany is out with illness. He's pooping out his bubble guts. Carlton Davis and Kevin Zeitler are both questionable. For the Vikings, Caleb Evans and Blake Cashman are both out. TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones, Patrick Jones, Harrison Phillips, and Dalton Risner, I can't read, are questionable. Walker wants to know, these are a bad matchup for the Vikings running backs. Are we still playing them in this one?
Oh, wow. I think you have to. I don't know if you can get away with it. It's really tough. Both teams are really good against the running backs. But I think it's going to be the ground game that's going to win this matchup. So I'm going to go with yes, you can still play them.
Okay. I think that you can start the Lions guys, because I think the Lions guys you start every week. And I don't know if I can trust the Vikings running backs. Aaron Jones coming off of a hip injury might not play. Ty Chandler has a chronic case of being Ty Chandler. So that's a big problem for him that he'll have to deal with and overcome in this one. I would start Montgomery and Gibbs just like you would every week. I saw a nickname for him today. Are you ready for this, Mike?
Yeah.
I think it works really well. Sonic and Knuckles.
Ooh, I like that.
That's really good, right?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is Sonic and David Montgomery is Knuckles. It kind of works, right? It's yeah, I saw totally that works. And I was like, all right, I'll take that. That's pretty good. So yeah, I think that you start the Lions guys, not the Vikings guys, whoever play. On the Lions, you're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown, no question. I would say Jared Goff is a streamer. What about Jameson Williams?
I like him. I liked him a lot better than I did in the beginning of the year, that's for sure. I think you can roll with him.
Okay, yeah. Walker has Jameson Williams 20th this week. Ahead of guys like Devontae Adams, Marvin Harrison, George Pickens, Jordan Addison, Michael Pittman. So a lot of respect from Walker for Jameson Williams this week. Respect or homerism? Who's to say?
I think respect.
Not homerism? Okay.
Nah.
And then Sam Laporta, he's one of that group of like, if you have him, just play him, I guess. Like last week, one catch, but it was a 52-yard touchdown, so you can't be too mad.
Yeah, you got to keep playing him regardless.
All right, Mike, let's talk about you killed him, Mike. You had Aaron Jones over under 85 total yards, but he's probably not playing.
Well, I don't know. I did some research, and it seems like he's going to play, but we'll see.
Oh, okay.
But if he doesn't, we can definitely transfer that number to Ty Chandler as well. So either Aaron Jones or Ty Chandler over under 85 total yards.
I'm gonna go under. The Lions running back defense is so good. And even though they won't have Aiden Hutchinson anymore, Davenport's not playing, I still think their run defense is very solid. So I will definitely be sitting Aaron Jones this week. I don't think he gets to 85 total yards, and so you're banking on a touchdown in that one.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay. And then Justin Jefferson, you're playing. And we talked about Jordan Addison a little bit. What are we feeling with Jordan Addison in this one? Like top 36 guy?
If that. I probably would want to stay away from him. This defensive matchup is going to be too difficult to sneak in two players. So, Justin Jefferson for sure, but Jordan Addison only if you have to.
Okay. Addison or Juju going up against the Niners?
Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah.
I got to go Addison.
Okay. Jordan Addison or George Pickens going up against the Jets?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Pickens against the Jets. I'm going to go Pickens just because he's the number one wide receiver.
Okay. And then last one, Addison or let's go to Amari Cooper. We were talking about going up against the Bills.
I think I'm going to go Cooper.
Okay. Sounds good. So I think that does it for the Vikings. If TJ Hockenson plays, are we going to play him?
Off an injury, I'm going to say no.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Same thing with Nick Chubb. Out of an abundance of caution, though, hell, if you're choosing between him or like Kate Otten, I get it.
Right.
I get it. So that's it for that one. I got Detroit winning. You and Walker both have Minnesota winning. So, yeah, let's talk about Eagles, Giants. Eagles are 3-2. Giants are 2-4. Philly, 3-point favorites, 42.5-point over under. Dallas Goedert, Jordan Mailata, and Byron Young are all out for the Eagles. Eli Ricks and Darius Slay are questionable. For the Giants, Jamie Gillen and Adoree Jackson are both out. If you're asking yourself at home, who's Jamie Gillen? I've never heard of Jamie Gillen. You probably should have heard of him. He is the punter for the Giants. Yeah, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Dane Belton are all questionable. Walker wants to know, how much Giants ass will Saquon kick? all of it. Every last bit of it. There will be no Giants ass, a Giants ass left unkicked when all is said and done. I think that this is going to be possibly the greatest game of Saquon's career if the Eagles let it happen.
Yeah. Giants are not too bad though against the run. There's only 12 teams better than they are. So at least, you know, you can consider middle of the road, but yeah. Saquon is going to be a main factor in this game, and he's probably going to bust a long one. So it's, yeah, he's going to eat a lot of ass.
God damn it, Mike. Oh God, that one got me. I'm glad Walker found something interesting to talk about with this game, because with no Dallas Goedert, everybody else that you would start, you will start. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about with the Eagles.
No. Not much.
Yeah. So, all right. I want to know what does the Devin Singletary and Tyrone Tracy split look like after last week? Tyrone Tracy kind of emerged as more of a pass catching back, with Devin Singletary not playing. But Tyrone Tracy was not good on you know, regular rushing, I believe below 2 yards per carry, but he was just a good passing back, which makes sense because Tracy was a wide receiver in college. So I think I agree with Walker's split here. Singletary 65%. I would go Singletary 65%, Tracy 35%. Tracy getting, third downs, getting a 2-minute drill, that sort of stuff. Passing downs work. So I think that Tracy might evolve as a intriguing PPR guy. I think Devin Singletary is just kind of in that like Najee Harris group, just kind of like, hey, I'm going to get you 12 fantasy points every week.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with those splits as well. I think that Singletary is definitely going to have more of the load to carry, where Tracy is sort of the second back. But I do. If Tracy does well with that percentage, then 30 to 35%, then I could see him really taking over Singletary and maybe doing 40 to 45% next week.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't think Tracy has huge upside, but I also think Singletary is a progress stopper at the position. I forget which coach talked about that. That was one of the it was one of the legendary NFL coaches, like Parcells or somebody on that level, talking about progress stoppers, where you have guys on your roster, they're never going to be stars, and they suck up so much of the position being just okay, they're going to stop the development of guys behind them. And that kind of emphasizes Devin Singletary to a T. He's not a bad football player. He can handle a bunch of carries and be league average. He's never going to be anything more than that, though.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so Malik Nabers will be back, not on the injury report. You're starting Malik Nabers. What about Wandale? Just the nastiest PPR guy you've ever seen in your life?
He is, too. I think you can roll with him as well. I think they're going to throw enough to get Wandale Robinson involved with his 6-for-67 kind of game.
Okay. And so what about Danny Dimes? Do you want to play Danny Dimes?
No, I think I'll pass on that one.
Walker's QB 21 this week.
Ooh, gross.
Ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
Ahead of Trevor Lawrence? Oh, jeez.
Ahead of Aaron Rodgers and Snoop Huntley and Russell Wilson.
Bad Trevor Lawrence, poor Trevor. I can't believe I made that trade. I'm going to be kicking myself for years now.
Which trade?
I traded before the season started. I traded Trevor Lawrence for. I mean, I traded Caleb Williams for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that's gonna be a problem, Mike. Sorry. here, let's think of it. Let's try to find something good. Trevor Lawrence gets Ben Johnson next year.
There you go.
Or Slowick.
There you go.
Either one of the Bens. And then he turns it all around. And
I like that.
He's QB1 forever. And Caleb Williams decimated, falls to QB3 forever. How's that sound?
There you go. Nah, I like
perfect.
That.
You like that? Okay, perfect. Yeah. Making it work. I think that does it for Giants-Eagles. We all got the Eagles winning. We're into the afternoon games. And Walker calls this game the sneaky banger of the week. Sorry, Walker. It may not be this game, or it may not be Jags-Patriots, but it's definitely not Raiders-Rams. How the fuck is this a sneaky banger of the week, Walker?
I don't know.
What? This is going to be like 14 targets to Brock Bowers, 25 carries from Kyren Williams, and everybody else filling in around the edges. What? Sneaky banger of the week? Walker, what? All right. Injuries in this one. Tommy Eichenberg and Kanai Mauga. And Dylan Parham are all out for the Raiders. Jacoby Myers is doubtful. Adam Butler, Zamir White, and John Jenkins are all questionable. For the Rams, we got Joe Noteboom, Cooper Kupp, and Jordan Whittington is all questionable. Mike, if Cooper Kupp plays, are you playing him?
No. No. I think it'll be a Cooper Kupp fiesta for us. I'm staying away from Whittington.
No, I said, are you playing Cooper Kupp?
Oh, am I playing Cooper Kupp? My mistake.
I know that wasn't my question. You were reading my question and not listening to my words, Michael.
Yes, I was. I'm playing Cooper Kupp.
Yes, we kept talking about an abundance of caution. Guess what I don't care about? Cooper Kupp getting out there, turning around, and standing there with the guy that he's had a mind meld with for three seasons now. So I will start Cooper Kupp in this game. And then, Mike, I agree with you. Jordan Whittington probably won't eat again, though he might. Raiders defense is not sneaky bad. They are definitely bad. The opposite of sneaky bad. Max Crosby's checked out. No Christian Wilkins. And the rest of the team is bad. Like, I couldn't name another defender for the Raiders. Divine Diablo.
There you go.
Yeah. So congratulations to the Raiders. Your team sucks. Mike, quick question for you. Let me ask you this. Which team you would say, all right, Mike, you're going to be the head coach of one of these three teams next year. Which team would you rather coach? The Saints, the Browns, or the Raiders?
Oh, wow. Well, that's horrible. My heart would go to the Raiders.
Okay.
Because I grew up, my father was an Oakland Raider fan. And
okay.
So I basically eat, slept Raiders growing up. But do I want that mess? No. Browns, I don't want to coach Deshaun Watson. I don't want anything to do with that. And then Saints. Yeah, I go with Saints just out of elimination purposes.
All right, so Mike, moving to the Big Easy. Great city to visit. I've been there three times. I love it. It's a nice little atmosphere if you're in the right areas, just like most cities. Mike, going to replace Dennis Allen this offseason. But on the Rams, Kyren Williams is a must start. I think that Matthew Stafford is a sneaky streaming guy. I have him as one of my streamers this week just because the Raiders are so god-awful. Though that's probably going to end up in two Kyren Williams touchdowns, if we're being honest. I think Jordan Whittington is a streamer at best. He's probably going to be like his upside is Jacoby Myers. If Jacoby Myers was playing 6 for 60 something, Cooper Kupp is a must play. And what about Tutu? Can you trust Tutu?
No, yeah, I can't trust Tutu. Which probably will bite me in the butt because he'll probably have like 5 for 70 and a touchdown. But I'll stay away from him.
Okay. And then so for Walker's ranks among those wide receivers, Tutu Atwell at 40, DeMarcus Robinson at 49, Does not have Whittington ranked, does not have Cooper Kupp ranked. So I don't think Walker is bullish on Cooper Kupp coming back. Let me ask you this. Let's rank them, Mike, since Jacoby Myers isn't playing. Trey Tucker or Jordan Whittington? Mike, go.
You know, I got to go Tucker. I like
really?
Tucker. Yeah. I think I could count on him a little bit more than Jordan Whittington.
Yeah. Waleed posts his the Gamble Town DFS thing in our Google chat every week, and I do it. Trey Tucker, one of my guys this week, because he's like $4,200 on DraftKings. So that is what's called a punt play, folks. So let's see how that works out. I've won 3 times this season out of 6, so I'll take it.
That's not bad.
Not that I've cashed. I've gotten first place 3 out of 6 times this season, so I'll definitely take it.
Didn't you win some good money before with that?
With DFS stuff?
Yeah.
A little bit here and there. I don't play enough. That's the thing. I haven't won like big money, but like when I do play, I win some money. So I'm just like, all right, I'll play. As long as I break even, I'm happy. That's all I care about. As long as it's a perpetual motion machine where I'm not putting more money in, I'm just paying to have fun. So that's what I do. So let's talk. Where were we? I got lost. Where were we? Because the wrong game's highlighted. Oh my God, Mike, I'm spiraling. Help!
Okay. There we Commanders. Are.
Panthers Commanders. Mike declared us done with Rams Raiders.
Yeah, we're done.
Brock Bowers must start. That's it. Walker said Madison and Myers. No Myers. Madison flex guy best. Sorry, the team's bad. All right, really Panthers bad. Commanders. Mike. Washington 8-point favorites, 51.5-point over under. Commanders 4-2, Panthers 1-5. I saw a stat where the Commanders have their Vegas odds for points scored in this game is the highest that it's been in 36 years.
Wow.
So we're talking like early 90s when they were making those Super Bowl runs. Like late 80s, early 90s, the last time they were this high. So they got themselves a real quarterback there. So injuries in this one, Jonathan Brooks, Josie Jewell, Claudin Sherlis, Tyler Motten, John Radigan, A'shaun Robinson are all out. So John Radigan, if you're asking yourself, who's John Radigan? Long snapper. So we're going to have another, maybe we might have a Cole Kmet situation here. Elsewhere, Jadeveon Clowney, Jaden Crumity, not a guy I've heard of, Sam Franklin, are doubtful. Dane Jackson, Deontay Johnson, David Moore, and Josh Nyman, Tommy Tremble, and LeBrian Ray are questionable. Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Owens are out for the Commanders. Cleveland Farrell, Brian Robinson, and Jordan McGee are all questionable. And if it's sounded like I was in pain when I was doing that, it's because I'm currently, Mike, currently, as I'm talking right now, experiencing one of the worst foot cramps I've ever felt in my entire life.
Yikes.
I hurt so bad right now. So, Mike, let's talk about Terry McLaurin.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'll survive. I might have to cut off my foot. You know, it's fine.
Jesus. Terry McLaurin. Let's talk Terry McLaurin. Over under 65 yards against the Panthers soft defense that is allowing. What are they allowing? As I'm looking this up right now, 11th. So they're 11th against wide receiver, which is 11th worst. Terry McLaurin against 11th worst defense passing wide receiver against wide receivers over under 65 yards.
He's doing it in a half, Mike.
Oh, he's are doing you
65
serious?
Yards in a half.
Wow. Okay.
First
I like
half.
That.
He's going to finish the first half with 4 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown.
Nice.
And then they'll be blowing out the Panthers, so he's going to end the game with like 5 catches for 83 yards. He's going to get 1 catch for 11 yards in the second half. So they run the ball with Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler a million times.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you agree?
Against the Panthers, yeah, why not? I think he usually comes in big chunks with his yardage. So mm-hmm. I could see him catching one for like 25 yards and then, you know, and a couple more that'll get him over that hump. So I don't know if it's going to be all that easy for him to get over 65, but I do see him getting over 65.
Okay. I'm putting down a bet right now. Terry McLaurin over 65 and a half yards. I'm pairing it with Prize Pick Special. Anthony Edwards over 0.5 points. All right. They keep doing these specials to basically make these actual betting instead of parlay. So Brian Robinson is trending up. He has been limited in all three days of practice this week. He's officially questionable. Sounds like he's going to play. So, Mike, are you going to play? Are you going to play Brian Robinson in this game?
Yeah, I like Brian Robinson in this matchup.
Yeah, Walker has him at 7th.
Yeah, so yeah. There we go. I like Brian Robinson. I don't know why he's good. It makes zero sense, but he puts up the fantasy points and that's all that matters.
Yep. And Walker also has Austin Eckler top 20. I don't know if I'm that bullish on him, but
yeah, me
neither. I can definitely co-sign starting both of them this week. So, do you agree?
Austin Eckler, I could see him finishing in flex area. I don't see him that high where Walker has him, but I could definitely see him finishing in the flex.
Okay. And then Zach Ertz, sneaky, gets a ton of targets, so I think he's a good blob guy. I think he's in the same range as like Dalton Schultz. I would rather start Ertz than Schultz, though.
Yeah, Ertz and Schultz to me are interchangeable, but yeah, you both probably want to start him.
Yeah. And then breaking news, Mike. Ian Rappaport is reporting, per multiple sources, my foot cramp is now done.
Oh, so that's
I can proceed with the podcast as normal. So,
yay!
All right. Yay. Let's talk about the Panthers. Not a good football team, but they have a good matchup this week. I want to know if Andy Dalton can have a good game against this Commanders defense that, they are an absolute sieve against, opposing passing games. I have too many windows open and I lost my notes again. So, they allow like 100 billion points per game, 600 quadrillion passing yards. There it is. I found my notes again. Sorry. The foot cramp really, just sent me into a tizzy. Commanders, 9th most fantasy points against quarterbacks. They've only gotten one interception this season. They've allowed, nearly 1400 passing yards, which does rank, 9th, and a 12-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I kind of feel like it'd be weird if Andy Dalton didn't have a like top 15 game against these guys.
Yeah. He's put up two or three touchdowns each of his outings outside of the one against the Bears. So you can count on at least, I think, two touchdowns from him. And then, you know, around 275 yards to 300. So he should have a pretty good game.
Pretty big game for the Red Rifle. Deontay Johnson is a must start. As long as he's playing, Jatavion Sanders is getting targets. I don't trust it. I see a lot of people hyping Jatavion Sanders. I'm sorry, Mike. I know he was your tight end too in this class. I don't trust it. I don't trust rookies. I especially don't trust rookies on, you know, I think we said they're the 11th worst offense in the NFL. You know, they went from the worst to just one of the worst with Andy Dalton. So, and then Chuba Hubbard. I would still play him this week. Jonathan Brooks not getting the start. So run him out like you normally would. I think he's a top 15 guy this week.
Yeah, as long as Jonathan Brooks isn't involved, then, yeah, Chuba Hubbard is the guy, and is really the only guy that they're, I mean, Miles Sanders has some effect, but not too much on the workload of Chuba Hubbard. So yeah, absolutely run Chuba Hubbard out there, top 15 at probably at the very least.
Yeah. So, trusting him there, trusting, Deontay, you can stream Andy Dalton if you'd like to. And that does it for the Panthers. We all have the Commanders winning this one. Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl rematch. Chiefs 5-0, Niners 3-3. Niners 1.5 point favorites, 46.5 point over under. Let's just get this out of the way. Walker and Mike both picking the Chiefs to win. Jeff picking the Niners. I'm going back on it, baby. Let's go. San Francisco 49ers. Not actually a song. That's a Miami Dolphins song. No, it's a San Diego Chargers song.
San Diego Superchargers.
Oh my God. Mike, we are not making a CD. We're not making a song. Holy shit. No, Niners win, baby. Brock Purdy, babyface assassin 2.0. He's gonna slice him. He's gonna dice him. He's gonna carve him. He's gonna marve him. It's all over. Yak Miller is back, baby. You can shoot him, but you can't take him out. Ricky Pearsall playing in this one. Juwan Jennings out. Jake Moody out. Matthew Wright out. I have no idea who's kicking field goals for this team. It doesn't matter because they're scoring a touchdown every time. Daryl Luter, Ricky Pearsall, Kevin Givens, all questionable. Ricky Pearsall will play. He just is officially questionable because he is not activated off of IR yet. For the Chiefs, Mike Dana is out and Juju Smith-Schuster is questionable. Walker wants to know. I'm going to put this in a question mark. Doo-doo shit poopster or... woohoo! Slick Coolster this week. What will Juju be after his... oh, damn, I didn't even mean to do that one. What will Juju be? The candy? what will Juju be after his big breakout game last week in his return to the Chiefs? 8 targets, 7 catches, 130 yards against the Saints. Mike, what do you think happens with Juju this week? Which, by the way, his name is John.
Is it John, really?
Yeah, it's John.
Oh, jeez.
Bro's name is John Smith.
Oh my God.
Jesus Juju. Christ.
That's funny. Let's see, against the 49ers, not much. Maybe 2 receptions for
two?
Yeah.
How do the Chiefs win if they're the guy who's their number one wide receiver is getting 2 targets?
Travis Kelce.
Ah. Of course.
And then you got the others that are involved. So I just don't see anything out of Smith-Schuster. So yeah. 2 for 25.
2 for 25 for doo-doo shit poopster. I think he's gonna go more like 6 for 80. And a touchdown against the Niners. 6 for 80 and a touchdown, 20 fantasy points or so.
You think that much?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Well, Mike, you have to understand, every time the Niners play the Chiefs, they lose. Every time the Niners play the Chiefs, some dumbass wide receiver does a lot of stuff. Do you remember who beat us in the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, that was DeMarcus Robinson, right?
Mecole Hardman, I think.
Mecole Hardman, yeah.
Hey, Mike, here's the thing. They're the same fucking guy.
Yeah,
they're the same guy. Do you remember who beat the Niners in the Super Bowl in 2000 or 2020?
In 2020, no.
The rotting corpse of Sammy Watkins.
Oh, jeez.
So, yes, Juju Smith-Schuster will get 18 fantasy points against the 49ers.
I guess so, if you look at it that way.
Mike, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it. But you're starting Kareem Hunt, correct? Well, are you starting Kareem Hunt? I mean, this is a decent 49ers defense. Fred Warner's the best linebacker in the NFL. They've actually gotten better at run D since Javon Hargrave has gone out for the season, which is very interesting. They're playing Malik Collins more, who is, I guess, a better run stopper. So I'm wondering if you think that Kareem Hunt will have a good game in this one.
I like Kareem Hunt. I mean, he's not what he used to be, of course, but I think he can grind out at least 50 yards on the ground and maybe another 25 or so through the air. And he'll give you 75 and 3 catches. So that's like 10, 11 points. So maybe in flex.
And plus a shot at a touchdown. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're firing up your Kareem Hunts if you have them. If you do have them, I feel like you've gotten lucky to have them just pop up out of nowhere in the middle of the season and playing well. The Niners aren't a defense that you have to fear against with running backs. I was kind of, I was hoping that you're like, oh, well, I maybe not. No, they Breece Hall 19.3, which that's Breece Hall. Aaron Jones double digits. Kyren Williams 31.6 fantasy points. Antonio Gibson, Ramondre Stevenson each getting are combining for 20. James Conner 12 fantasy points. Ken Walker on Monday Night Football 21 fantasy points. So you can defeat the 49ers with your running back. So I think Kareem Hunt has a decent game. I think Juju's like a wide receiver 3. You mentioned Travis Kelce, must start. Ever since Rashee Rice went down. Mike, Xavier Worthy. Is this a week that Xavier Worthy goes off?
Yeah, see, I have more faith in Xavier Worthy than I do Juju Smith-Schuster. So if one of those guys has to go off, I'm probably going to lean towards Xavier Worthy.
Okay. I think that Xavier Worthy is going to get like a 50-yard touchdown. Because that's what happens every time a fast player plays the 49ers. They get one long play, and then they go, oh, shit. And then they stop them for the rest of the game. like with Jameson Williams in the NFC Championship game. So I do think that he's a good DFS play, but I wouldn't start him.
Gotcha.
What about Patrick Mahomes? I will not start him this week.
No, I'm not starting him.
That's actually a lie, because the only team that they have him on is a Superflex team, so I do have to start him. But if I had a one quarterback team with him on it, I would not be starting him.
Yeah, even a one quarter. There are some leagues that even a one quarterback, I'm not starting him. I don't remember who I'm starting over. I wish I knew, but it was like Andy Dalton over Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, like just off the top of my head, Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold. No, not Kirk Cousins. I meant to say Sam Darnold. Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold. CJ Stroud, obviously. Matthew Stafford, probably. Yeah. Geno, I would start over him. So yeah, he's not the guy that he has been for fantasy. He's still, you know, the best quarterback. They just don't need him to do anything, and they just kind of grind games out now.
Yeah, and they don't, when you don't need to rely on you know, passing game, because you can do it through the ground. That's what you're going to do.
That's right. All right. Anybody else? Oh, Jordan Mason playing in this one. You're starting him, obviously, even though the Chiefs have the one of the best run defenses in the NFL. I mean, you still got to play Jordan Mason. This is one of the best run offenses in the NFL. So,
yes,
they both teams on both sides get paid to do their jobs. So I think that Jordan Mason, you know, you just have to temper expectations a little bit. Think more like RB2 flex range instead of like high end RB1 like he has been.
Another guy they'll have to pay soon.
Nah, they'll just kick his ass to the curb like they did with Raheem Mostert.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy, Kyle Shanahan just pulls these guys out of the mud. He just, like, goes out behind Levi Stadium, digs a hole, and he's like, oh, hey, look, I found another running back.
He does, too. It's amazing.
I mean, Isaac Garendo was a shoelace away from having 100 yards and a touchdown on Thursday. Like, come on. So yeah, it's a... Yeah, I don't think they'll pay Jordan Mason. You know what'll happen is Jordan Mason will get like $8 million a year to go play for the Cowboys next year.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah.
No, actually, what's going to happen is Alvin Kamara is going to get cut and after the season's over, and then Jerry Jones is going to pay him like $12 million a year. Like, that's the most Jerry Jones thing.
Yeah, it is.
So let's see. Jordan Mason, ooh, he is a restricted free agent, so I guess he will be a 49er again, because his ass is restricted. All right. Like I said, Mike and Walker do not have the faith. They hate me. Go Niners, go. Niners faithful, baby. Let's go. My father-in-law used to say when the Niners were really bad and they were trotting out the faithful thing, he used to say, faithful means too damn stupid to know any better. So let's go, baby. All right. Jets, Steelers, Jets 2-4, Steelers 4-2, Sunday Night Football, Jets 2.5-point favorites, 38.5-point over under. Mike, we are getting a debut of debuts for a team, one that we've been waiting for. Russell Wilson likely making his first start for the Steelers. That's the most impactful debut in this one, right?
No, as much as that's impactful and it's severely impactful, I'm going to have to say no.
Would you say that it might be instead Devontae Adams reuniting with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that led them both to not only NFL but fantasy glory?
Yeah, that might just eke it out. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's possible. So Mike, you want to know about that wide receiver core with Devontae Adams now?
Yeah, is it going to be Garrett Wilson or Devontae Adams who has the most receptions this week?
Devontae Adams.
I like that.
Aaron Rodgers probably walked in, said, "You're getting me Devontae Adams. That's not a question. That is not a request. You are getting me Devontae Adams. I'm going to take Mike Williams. I'm going to give him the Jimmy Hoffa treatment. He's gone. We're not going to talk about him anymore. And Mike Williams is going to get 12 targets in this game. And Garrett Wilson's going to get 9. Did I say Mike Williams is going to get 12 targets?
Yeah, you did.
I meant to say Devontae Adams. Walker isn't here to catch me. Mike politely laughs and does not call me out. So thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Devontae Adams gets 12 targets. Garrett Wilson gets 9. Mike Williams gets a bullet to the back of the head. He gets taken out back. Alan Lazard gets 6. That's the breakdown of the wide receiver targets in this one. That's my guess, at least.
I think that's pretty right on. I think Adams does lead the team in receptions over Wilson. Lazard will probably get a few as well, but it's not going to be over Wilson or Adams. And then Mike Williams, unfortunately, is no longer relevant. Another bad trade I made in that same league. I'm glad I just made all these bad trades in this league, because my goodness,
you're concentrating all the bad in one spot.
Yeah, in one spot. I traded a second rounder for Mike Williams.
I feel like I had a role to play in that, Mike. I'm sorry. I was the world. I was like, this is stupid that nobody likes Mike Williams. I was like, oh no, I'm stupid. I'm stupid. That's the problem. Okay.
Yeah. It's me too. Cause I figured he was going to be great in this offense and
yeah, I thought
Aaron
so
Rodgers
too.
And yep.
And we were like, psych, Alan Lazard's there. I forgot to talk injuries in this one. Michael Carter, the cornerback, out. Tyler Conklin, DJ Reed, Chaz Surratt, all questionable. For the Steelers, Nick Herbig, Dylan Cook, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Zach Frazier are all out. Roman Wilson and Montrevious Adams are questionable. So elsewhere on the Jets, you're starting Breece Hall. You're starting both Wilson and Adams. Walker has Aaron Rodgers 23. I think Aaron Rodgers belongs more in the like Jared Goff, Drake May territory. I know that the Steelers are very good. I know this. I also on defense. I also know that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are one of the best quarterback wide receiver combos this side of I'll say Peyton and Harrison. Ooh. You know, think about how good they were. I mean, it's not hyperbole to say that. They were the most lethal quarterback wide receiver duo for like 3 years, 4 years in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even if they take a step back, they're still one of the better ones in the league.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They know each other, you know, he could throw the blindfolded to Devontae Adams.
Back shoulder fades don't work for anybody. Anybody in this league on any consistent basis, except for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
They're the only combo where that works on any sort of consistent basis. And it's constant. And it's lethal. Because the theory behind a back shoulder fade is only that wide receiver can catch it. But usually the quarterback fucks it up. And in
right.
this case, they're so mind-melded that only Devontae Adams can catch them. And he'll get a back shoulder fade touchdown. I'm calling it. I'm calling it, Mike.
I like it.
Yeah. So I think that does it. Tyler Conklin, he's hurt. He's, you know, I wouldn't count on him given that it's Sunday night and you have limited options if he doesn't play. I honestly would rather just roll Kate Otten than Tyler Conklin. Breece Hall, you're playing. Braylon Allen, you're not. I think that's it for the Jets, Mike.
Pretty much. Yeah, I agree.
Walker wants to know if we can start any Steelers in week one of the Renaissance.
The answer to that question is no.
Najee?
Nope.
No? Nobody.
And not against that defense.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't super high on Najee. I was thinking maybe like a low end RB2 or flex guy. Walker has him 23rd. But 23rd. Mike's all the way out, sounds like.
Yeah, I'm out. Even then though Mike, 23rd doesn't sound too bad, I don't know if I could disagree with that too much. But yeah, I think that's probably about as high as you see. That's his ceiling is 23-24 this week.
Mike, very interesting that you don't think any Steelers will have a good game yet. You have the Steelers winning. Mike, how do you respond to these allegations?
Yeah,
how do you respond to these allegations, Mike?
The Jets are just even worse.
Oh, okay. So that's even worse. I got the Jets winning. So does Walker. Mike, world's biggest Steelers fan.
Hell yeah. Let's go Pitt.
Yeah, Mike and them terrible towels. Yeah, I think out of an abundance of caution, I would only play Najee Harris. George Pickens, I think, gets better quality targets. I don't know how many he gets. We'll see what this looks like. I understand benching him. Like, I'm not super excited. I'd rather start Juju, Jordan Addison, Wandale. I'm trying to think who else. I'm looking at Walker's ranks. I'd rather start Pop Douglas than George Pickens in PPR. So, yeah, I fully understand keeping him on the bench this week. All right, Mike, there's two Monday Night Football games this week. One, luckily, is only on ESPN Plus, so nobody's going to be watching that one. That's Chargers-Cardinals. Let's start with the first one. Both teams are 4-2. Ravens at Buccaneers. Baltimore, 3.5-point road favorites, 49.5-point over-unders. No injury in this one for the Ravens so far. For the Buccaneers, there's not an official injury report. Again, I give the caveat every week. Their official injury report will come on Saturday. Rashad White was limited in practice, though likely to play. Mike Evans has been did not practice for the last couple days, but he's expected to play. He's Mike Evans. They're just giving him time to rest his hammy. Mike, you want to know about Mark Andrews?
Yeah, is he going to finish in the top eight against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Like in this game?
Tight end.
Tight end eight.
Yeah.
Kittle, Bowers, McBride, Kelsey, Ingram, Njoku. Damn, I listed those off. That's the exact same order Walker has them. Let's go.
I thought you were reading it, actually.
No, I'm looking up. Yeah, Kittle, Bowers, McBride, Kelsey, Ingram, Njoku. That's off the top of my head. That's six that I would rather have. I'd rather play Laporta, probably, who Walker has eight. Ertz. Kate Otten, I would rather play, and that's up to nine. So, like, I don't know how you can trust Mark Andrews. That's what Walker put in the doc, too. How can you trust him?
Yeah, pretty much how can you trust him is the correct answer here. You can't.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't think you can trust him. And, you know, if he blows up on your bench, fine. That's what you want to see. You want to see? You want to see Mark Andrews blow up on your bench. Do you know why? Because you've been seeing him get zeros in your lineup and you don't know when you can play him. And if he had a decent game last week, he blows up this week. He can go back in your lineup next week. Start Kate Otten. Kate Otten will get you six fantasy points at least, which is more than you could say for Mark Andrews for like half the games this year.
Yeah. Or if not more than just half. Mark Andrews days are behind him.
Yeah. So you've seen Dumb and Dumber, Mike.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know the scene where they're like, oh, yeah, we know. Like, you found the guys. They're like 3 miles down or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that scene where the joke is that you think it's going to be them, but it's because it is them. But they say that it's not. My buddy sent me that and it was captioned Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce when you're looking for a top 10 tight end on the week. It's like, oh yeah, way down there. You're not going to find them around here. That's for sure. So, yeah, Yeah, I don't know how you can trust Mark Andrews. But what about Zay Flowers, Mike? Zay Flowers, huge game last week. Where are you? Are you trusting him this week against the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I do. I do like Zay Flowers. He seems like he's consistent against almost any team. He's not going to put up great fantasy numbers, but he is going to at least give you flex style situation. I could see the same thing here. Yeah, anywhere between 15 and 20 is probably where I would rank him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a huge game last week, but yeah, I don't know how you can trust that week to week. But you can also trust him to have a nice floor. I keep calling him Dolphins Jarvis Landry. Dolphins Jarvis Landry was like 8 for 80 every week because he would just go out 10 yards, turn around, and then fall down.
Yep.
So that's at least what you're getting. Derrick Henry. Mike, are we starting Derrick Henry?
I don't know about that. That's a tough one. Yeah, you're definitely starting Derrick Henry.
Yeah, even if you're in a one running back league and you have Derrick Henry and literally anybody else, you're starting Derrick Henry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lamar Jackson, you're starting him, and that's it. Don't get cute. Isaiah Likely, don't start him. No. Let's talk about the Buccaneers. Walker trying to sow discord, asking who is the best player in the backfield. We got Rashad White, ass. We got Bucky Irving, pretty good. We got Sean Tucker, ass, until last week, last drive specifically, then pretty good. To me, it's fairly clear that it's Bucky Irving, though I understand the game that Sean Tucker had last week. It was also mostly in garbage time. He had like 6 for 60 in garbage time last week. So that was a big chunk of his production. I think it's Bucky Irving. I think Rashad White's the best pass catcher. Congratulations to Rashad White for being the third down back, I guess. But Sean Tucker's the best runner. Rashad White's the best pass catcher, and Bucky Irving's the best overall player.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So are you starting any of them this week?
No, I don't think you can, because I think all three of them are going to be a rotated backfield. So, and then you have Baltimore Ravens defense.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm voiding it altogether.
Yeah. Walker has Bucky Irving the highest at 25, which is exactly like, I'm acknowledging he's the highest guy in this backfield. Also, I'm saying you should not start him.
Right.
Which is exactly how I feel about it, too. Like, it's going to be a three-headed monster. They did say this week that it's going to go with the hot hand. So we'll see how that goes. Hot hand usually means it's hot hand for 2 or 3 weeks till the guy, we go to whoever has been the best guy in those 2 or 3 weeks, and then he's starting. So the countdown to Rashad White losing his job is on. Whether it's Sean Tucker or Bucky Irving, I will either be right this year or delayed right about what I was saying last year about Sean Tucker. So no matter what happens, unless Rashad White gets his job back, Jeff's right. So that's all that matters. All right. You're starting Mike Evans. You're starting Chris Godwin. You're starting Baker Mayfield, correct? Or no?
Godwin, Mayfield, and Evans,
Mike,
right?
Evans, yeah.
Yeah, you're starting all three.
All right. Mike Evans dealing with that hamstring injury. So there are some pivots available. I would just like to, you know, point out that if you put them in your flex, you do have an option to start one of these running backs for Tampa Bay. Without Mike Evans, they'll probably rely on the running game more. So without Mike Evans, one of those three guys we talked about is a viable alternative if he doesn't play on Monday night. You also have Justice Hill as a possibility on the Ravens. And then what's nice is you also have the Chargers and the Cardinals. So you could get a little Greg Dortch action. You could take a shot on one of the Chargers wide receivers. Ladd McConkey would probably be the best bet. So there's a lot of options here if you want to play Mike Evans. You're not going to get stuck in a Christian McCaffrey week one situation where you're like, oh, shit, he's not playing. I'm screwed. Sort of deal.
Right.
So there are a lot of options here. Just please remember to put him in your flex, because even Kate Otten would probably directly benefit from there being no Mike Evans if he doesn't play in this game.
Agreed.
And so I like Kate Otten in this game. Mike, you bullish? You want to start go elsewhere? What do you think about Kate Otten?
Yeah, I'm bullish. They're finally passing the ball to him, which I never could have understood why they weren't. I mean, he's like wide open like all the time. Just
yeah, and he's now, always on the field.
And so I was just charting these games because I chart the Buccaneers, and I'd always there's Kate Otten open and on the field, open and on the field. And I'm just like, why are they not throwing him the ball? It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, finally, they're throwing him the ball. And so I'm definitely bullish.
Okay. Mike, we have breaking news.
Yeah.
The Oregon Ducks mascot was on the field and while players were running onto the field and accidentally got knocked over and their head flew off. So there's a picture of the person in the mascot suit laying on the ground with the head like probably 3 or 4 feet away, and it's very funny. All right. So good, best of luck to that player. It looks like they're coming out for like on-field warm-ups or something, and just one of the guys just like plowed right into
drilled
the
right
duck. Yeah.
Speaking of mascots, did you see the bull and the bulldog?
No.
Yeah. The Texas Longhorns, Longhorn cow went after the bulldog from Georgia.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Everybody was okay. Both of them were okay, but yeah, he just totally went after him like horns down and everything.
I was going to say, did they hurt Uga or Uga? I still don't know how it's pronounced. I've just read it.
Yeah, I don't know either. Uga sounds right.
Uga, yeah. I just know it's University of Georgia. I'm like, give that dog a proper name.
Yeah. Please.
All right, Mike, let's run this out. Last game of the week, Chargers card. Oh, we all have Baltimore winning that game. Duh. Last game of the week, Chargers Cardinals. Chargers 3-2. Cardinals 2-4. Chargers 2.5-point favorites, road favorites, 43.5-point over under. Again, no official injury report, but Joey Bosa, Quentin Johnston, Hayden Hurst all did not practice today. Ladd McConkey and DJ Chark were both limited. I don't think we see two out of those three guys. If I had to guess, we'd probably see Hayden Hurst, and Bosa and Quentin Johnston probably don't suit up. For the Cardinals, Marvin Concussion has gotten over his Harrison. Marvin Harrison has gotten over his concussion. He's set to clear protocol very soon. He practiced in full. He will test on Saturday to clear protocol. Walker wants to know if Kamani Vidal is real or fake.
I think fake for right now. Fake Vidal.
Fake Vidal. Yeah, I don't think he's a real right now, but he will be Vidal real soon, perhaps.
All right.
No, it's he had the classic. So this is a play that the Niners run 3 or 4 times a year. The Kamani Vidal touchdown. And I call it something along the lines of, oh shit, I forgot about that guy. And yeah. They usually run it with Kyle Juszczyk out of the backfield. It's a running back wheel route where all the action goes elsewhere. And you're like, oh, that guy's just clearing out. And you're like, oh, shit, he turned up field. And that's where it actually goes. Niners run that play like 3 or 4 times a year. That's what Kamani Vidal scored on. I don't think he's real. Sorry to all of fantasy Twitter.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, your Vidal dreams are dead.
Yeah, so who are we starting on the Chargers in this one? J.K. Dobbins, yeah?
Yeah, I think you can start Dobbins.
Justin Herbert, I don't think you can start him, but nice bit of data from last week. I have him as a sleeper this week, but it's kind of a tenuous one. He was able to throw the ball over 30 times for the first time this season. Justin Herbert
Dang,
was.
Really?
Yeah, I think, hold on, let me double check that. That might have been except for week one. I think it was 3 straight games, actually. So he finished with, no, it was his first time over 30 pass attempts all year long last week. So he prior to that, he had 27, 18, 20, and 26.
Dang.
Yeah, so last week, 34, which is more, it's closer to his career average. His career average is closer to like 38, though that's dropping very quickly as Jim Harbaugh plays him more and more. So, you know, it might be a situation where they are letting him throw more. But I also know that Jim Harbaugh can just run the ball down this team's throat.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely going to. I mean, do we know that Jim Harbaugh hates quarterbacks? So
that he does.
It's all about the ground game, the ground and pound.
We've both experienced that firsthand, Mike. As fans of Jim Harbaugh teams, we both experienced that firsthand.
We did. Me for the Colts and you and Michigan.
No, I was going to say for Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. And you for the 49ers.
Yeah, I forgot. I always forget that Harbaugh. Was Harbaugh the last quarterback before Peyton?
I want to say no, but I don't remember who was in there between there. So,
I think it was close. Hold on. We're going to find out. This is important.
It was definitely close. That I could tell you.
Yeah. Mike, this is important. We haven't done enough bullshit on this episode because we haven't had Walker. So we need a quick moment of bullshit. So let's see. Peyton Hendershot? Peyton Hillis? Peyton Manning. There we go. His last game with the Colts, 1997. Peyton Manning's first game with the Colts, 1998.
Yep.
Burr, burr, burr. Jim Harbaugh started 12 games or 11 games that year. So looks like he was the starter in the he started the last game before Peyton Manning took over. So salute to Jim Harbaugh, Colts legend, because without him, they never would have gotten Peyton Manning.
He did take him to the AFC Championship game.
And then he took a dive to take him to glory. Not like that coward Andrew Luck who just up and quit one day. No, I'm
yeah, kidding. Just decided.
Oh, he's yeah, like, I'm out of here, guys.
Yeah, I should tell you the story about Andrew Luck retiring, where I was and what I did.
Tell it, Mike.
So we were at a buffet place. I can't remember. It's a national chain. What is it called? Like, doesn't matter.
Like Sizzler?
No. What is it?
Hometown.
Yeah, it's like Hometown Buffet.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, and I get my phone, and I look at it, and there's what's his name? Not Ian Rappaport, but the other guy.
The guy you hate, Schefter.
The guy. Yeah, Schefter. Andrew Luck retires, and I'm like, no, that's some bullshit right there.
Yeah, you're like, what?
And so I'm checking through, and it, like every source, just Andrew Luck retires. I am so pissed because not only does he retire, but I had him as my home league quarterback. I just picked him like the day before with my home league quarterback, and I lost Lamar Miller. That's when Lamar Miller tore his ACL. The same day Lamar Miller tears his AC and Andrew Luck retires, and I lost my shit. I was so pissed. I actually took a plate and I chucked it. not a behavior to be proud of by any
means.
Yeah,
not your finest moment, but it happens.
But it happened, and it's shot off one of the other plates behind the behind the grill, and almost hit the guy working the grill, and he looks and turns his head because it almost hits him. And yeah, the whole day I spent just in a big funk, and it was not a great, like I said, not my finest moments, but I was news that did not make me happy at the very least.
clearly. Oh my god, Mike. I mean, I've thrown things for sports, but not a plate. I can't say. But that was probably the closest thing to you. Like, you were just like, I just need to throw something. And so
yeah, I had it in my hand and I chucked it. Yeah.
I've thrown my fair share of stuff, but yeah, a plate's never been the closest thing to me. So, wild. Anyways, yeah. The Cardinals, huh? My question was, are Trey Benson and James Conner headed for a split backfield? Trey Benson had 5 carries last week. James Conner had 7. Walker said no? ? I do think that it might be coming. It's not quite on the horizon yet, but James Conner only played 28% of snaps last week. Trey Benson played in 19% of snaps. So it was definitely a situation where I was like, hey, like, what's going on here? It was a blowout. There was a lot of Amari DiMarcado, so that could have played into it as well. Just something to keep track of. Like, this wasn't a like, hey, I think this is happening. This is a like, is this happening? And that's what I'm looking for in this game.
So that's interesting. I didn't know about that. How did Trey Benson look?
Okay. He looked all right. Like, 5 for 26. He was okay. He wasn't like, he didn't blow anything away, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think they're ahead of. I think this is James Conner's backfield. Okay. Yeah, unless something weird happens, but yeah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't predicting this. I was just like, noticed that last week, and I'm curious what it looks like this week. So, yeah, so Marvin Harrison set to be back. Mike, are you starting him?
Most definitely.
Yeah, you drafted him to. He's a go down with the ship player. If he does poorly, you drafted him so high, you're just going down with that ship.
Right.
Like, there's not much you can do about that. Kyler Murray is not that. Walker has Kyler 13th, so definitely a guy you could get away from. I'm feeling that way too. Except I would probably, Walker has him ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I would start Kyler over Mahomes. So like in that 12-ish range for me, I think. For Kyler.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he just hasn't been all that good. And I don't know if that's going to change. So, that sounds 13 sounds about right.
Yep. So, yeah. And then James Conner, you're rolling out there. Trey McBride, you're rolling out there. So that's it.
Yep.
We all have the Chargers winning. I mentioned it on the bonus episode. We talked about it. I would just like to know for folks who, are not part of the Patreon, Mike, how did you finish last week?
I finished 13 and one, just one loss.
All right. And what was that one loss?
Oh, let's see. I actually picked Will Levis to defeat the Colts, my team.
I was going to say, and the Colts are your favorite football team?
My favorite football team. And I had so much respect and so much support behind them and thought they were going to win that I actually picked Will Levis to conquer all of that.
That's right. And so that's why episode, I titled the Patreon episode, Never Under Any Circumstances Bet on Will Levis Against Your Favorite Team.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
Oh, man. So, Mike, we did it. We are now, this will be 7 weeks of action. We're halfway through the regular season. It's absolutely flying by. So we will be back on Tuesday with Walker this time to talk all of week 7's action and preview week 8 Thursday Night Football, which is... You know, Mike?
Thursday Night Football? No, I don't.
Vikings Rams. It might actually be an okay game.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that might be something.
But we'll see how that goes. So good luck to everybody in your fantasy matchups this week. For Mike and for Walker for getting their podcasting equipment at home. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.